from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Good when you hear this song. For me, it's a movie.
Dazed and Confused?
Is this in Dazed and Confused?
I think it's in every movie in that era.
Okay. Gone in 60 seconds for me.
What part is it? I know exactly. I think I can picture it.
I'm pretty sure it's when it's like a reoccurring theme throughout.
Yeah.
Like when they're about to go steal cars.
Let's go boost some cars.
That's really good.
A little silly Nick Cage.
But I'm pretty sure Nick Cage like has to listen to that to hype him up. And like right before the big boost at the end.
Yeah, he's like, let's ride.
Listening and he's like got his fingers next to his temples.
Yeah.
And he's like, okay, let's go.
By the way, dueling Nick Cages, both good.
I'm just doing a version of Nick Cage.
Yours is good.
But that's what I think of every time I hear this song.
Yeah.
And by the way, excellent movie.
That is a good flick. I mean, it's so dumb. That's not the point. It is really entertaining.
I just gave Clary a movie rec a minute ago. Do you remember the movie Accepted?
Yeah, Justin Long bit?
Yeah. He was on a heater.
Justin Long had a run.
He did. He was in Dodgeball. He was in everything for a couple of years. Justin Long and Blake Lively was one of my favorite actresses of all time.
How come?
Blake Lively?
Yeah. What do you like
incredible.
Her?
Incredible. She's uber talented. Mm-hmm. Now married to Ryan Reynolds.
Yep.
And seemingly one of the better power couples that actually is like, I don't know, in love and decent.
Yeah, they seem happy.
In Hollywood.
Isn't that weird?
Very weird. But the movie's called Accepted. A high school slacker who's rejected by every school he applies to opts to create his own institution of higher learning, the South Harmon Institute of Technology, on a rundown piece of property near his hometown. Such a good movie.
He invents a college and like they have to... Yeah, when their parents weekend and stuff, they have to like make it seem like it's a real school.
Now, Rhino's not going to watch it because I suggested it.
Yeah.
But I'm just telling you, good little flick.
You can just tell him it's in the same universe as like Not Another Teen Movie or something, and he might check it out.
If I told him Tobey Maguire played Spider-Man in it, we might have a chance. Are you more or less excited about Jaden Daniels than you were on draft night, Danny, as we're one practice down?
Less. And it's not his fault. It is the fault of, I guess, ultimately, it lies at the feet of the front office to me. I don't think they've done enough to assist him. I don't think they've done enough to protect him. I think they've made a glaring omission here. They're trying to do a slow, patient team-building approach, which in general I'm in favor of. This is not in general. You just drafted a quarterback second overall, and anybody that does a ranking and anybody that does a list basically says, hey, your line is in the 20s, so are your receivers. That's wrong. That is the wrong approach. We've seen that here. We've seen that elsewhere. We've seen what that usually leads to. Now, if the front office is right and you've got a Houston Texans situation, which is a moonshot, one in a billion type chance, where guys that weren't really that well thought of, all of a sudden now the Tank Dells, the Nico Collinses of the world are household names as stars. If you've got those guys internally and you're right and I'm wrong, that's great. But my enthusiasm, my zeal, my incredibly high ceiling for what this guy could be as a rookie has been knocked down a couple of pegs because I think he's, you know, more at risk because of an offensive line that's shoddy at least a couple of spots, one big unknown at left guard. And I don't think there's enough weaponry on the outside to make his life easy.
So I could see their plan around him maybe disappointing you to the point where you could lower your expectations for him in his first season or something like that. But my excitement for Jaden Daniels is very much elevated from draft night. Now, I still have my concerns. I'm going to until he can put some of those to bed. I've got to see him get the ball out quickly, you know, not turn a high number of pressures into sacks, not have some of the issues from his college days come with him to the National Football League. I want to see him throw a higher percentage of balls in the middle of the field, which is critical in the NFL. I want to see him avoid contact, which is one of my main concerns. It seems like he would sometimes seek out the big hits occasionally, like he didn't go to the ground.
Oh, yeah.
All of those things can't really be quelled until game time, until he's playing in regular season games. Having said that, I feel way better because all of the rhetoric, the team assessment, everything that we've heard from them has not just been positive, it's been glowing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so easy for someone to say, of course it is. Are they going to say anything negative? They're going to build him up. It's
yeah,
their
this
draft
is
day.
Different, though.
I have heard by now, on the last several quarterbacks that they drafted or brought in here, things that weren't great from people close enough behind the scenes. Almost to a man. I don't remember any of that with Ryan Fitzpatrick, to be honest with you. But certainly with the young guys. Like by now, with the late Dwayne Haskins. By now, with Griffin. And some of this could have been fair or unfair. And maybe Robert or Dwayne would have said that it wasn't, right? But part of it could be that maybe there's coaching staff there that didn't draft you or that had other plans or were told to do something. I don't know. But the little rumblings, the little things about whether or not someone shows up early enough or puts in the work or how they are in the locker room or how they're going to relate to guys, whether it was going to be reality or not, there were a little bit of the kind of like, here's something to keep in mind. Here's something to keep an eye on. There's been zero of that with Jaden Daniels. And even if the point is just, it's just that this staff has done a better job supporting and endorsing them. You know, they're just like the political party getting behind a candidate and everyone's pulling the rope in the same direction or something. Okay, then if that's what's happening and it's all messaging, so what? Even that in and of itself would help you to succeed more than the opposite. So just how positive everyone's been, how everyone seems to think that he is doing everything that he can and controlling all of the controllables, that he's putting in the work, that the non-football game stuff with him has been a win so far. I feel way, way better.
So the parts that he can control, I'm as enthused as I was before. This confirmed all my priors about what kind of kid he was, that he's not someone that feels now because he's a pro, he's arrived and his work is done. He knows that it's not. He knows what got him here. The elevation in his prep and, you know, being a pro before he was even a pro at LSU, to me, tells the story. Where he came from and where he ended up, right? That's you know, his work ethic, that's not just for show on Instagram, that's all the time. None of that has changed for me, and it's been confirmed that I'm as jubilant and as excited as I can be. To me, my reason for not being as excited about him is 100% about the surroundings. And I just don't think you can have as good a statistical year anymore as would have been possible had they spent draft picks, had they spent money in free agency, had they gone out and invested in what I think they should have, and they didn't. So to me, that's not some sort of like non-connected thing. It's not some sort of random coincidence where, well, I don't know how good your punter is. Ours is great. How good your punter is. So therefore, what kind of season is Jaden Daniels going to have? Like, they should have gotten another weapon. They should have gotten a tackle. And they didn't. So that hurts him. Like, that directly is going to affect him and what I think he's capable of this year.
Which I totally get and even to an extent agree with. But it's not like the situation around him is terrible. It might not satisfy what you want, but it's not awful. A special quarterback can excel in this situation. And I think a lot of people are suggesting he's going to be special, that he has a chance. You've seen just recently, in the last week, I think Marcus Spears on ESPN, I saw Lewis
Booger McFarlane.
Lewis Riddick on ESPN, Booger McFarlane on ESPN have all kind of done their own rants of he's going to outplay Caleb. He's that different. He's that much better. So that this is not a situation that should keep him from elevating his game. Maybe it doesn't make life as easy on you as you and I want if you had a Bears-like best situation ever, Caleb Williams. If you went out and traded for Allen and drafted Adunze, and you just had maybe the best trio of receivers in the league. It's not that here. But it's closer to that than it is a horrible situation. It's solid. It's fair. It's middling. Here's another question, though, on this. And we can open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines for you guys. We'll get to you in a minute. At 800-636-1067. Go back to draft night and compare your feelings on Jaden Daniels then to now. I'm higher and more excited on him. Danny is a little bit lower and less excited. Not because of Daniels as much as because of what didn't happen around him. There hasn't really been a whole lot to grade or judge. There hasn't been a whole lot of notes taken in the notebook yet. Like, I don't really feel any different and think anybody should feel different because he had a really good practice in the bubble in shorts. Or even today without pads, like, it sounded like he was sharp as a tack and making throws and putting the ball in the bucket and all those things. Or people will post these videos of him, like, throwing to a target and, you know, hitting the net, you know, over and over again. Like, that's cool. I'd rather you do that than not look like you could do that. That's great. But none of that is really needle-moving to me in terms of my expectations or feelings about him being the guy. Is there any reason for someone to say that the Brandon Ayuk stuff or the still photo, like, that would be a bridge too far to say you feel worse based on the judgment there, like the $10,000 rookie of the year deal with Neighbors, right? Because I think both of those things were mostly, overblown is the wrong word, but just not consequential. They don't really matter. It's just a young guy doing a young guy thing, and neither of those really show anything that's going to matter come judgment on the football field.
Yeah, they were jaywalking violations, and in you know, short of like real lapses in judgment, that's the if that's the worst you got, we'll be just fine.
Yeah, yeah. I hope that keeps being the worst you got.
Right.
You
know, so
let's have that happen every offseason and nothing else.
If you were somebody that was so vehemently anti-Ham, which I'm sure there is somebody out there that you found your confirmation and that he sent a still shot, but I couldn't see it that
How
way.
How could anybody be? The guy carries himself well,
mm-hmm.
has had nothing but fun, impressive press conferences, and was the best player in college football last year. Like, why would a fan of this team be in that camp?
It's hard for me to imagine because I'm the opposite of that. You know what I mean? Like, I fell in love with the kid during the season.
Work.
Yeah.
And I want it to work.
Right, of course. So. Yeah, but it just, again, just try to buoy my argument a little bit. Maybe this isn't necessarily long-term, but what I'm worried about some of those things that, again, are outside of his control. Some of it is part of who he is. My number one concern about him are the hits, whether that's in the pocket, out of the pocket. Like, there are some cringeworthy, long, lean, really athletic Heisman Trophy-winning quarterback moments in my not-too-distant memory where a guy gets hit awkwardly and goes down like a folding chair, and then one too many happens, and the whole career is changed. That's the thing that terrifies me, and there wasn't enough done to try to fix all that. So a lot of it's on him, and that's my concern now until, you know, he hangs him up, God willing, in 20 years as a Hall of Famer going in the burgundy and gold. But, you know, to me, I see it as more of an urgent thing that they didn't. So you look at all the best rookie quarterback seasons in recent history. Everyone from Cam Newton in 2011, Hall of Famer Steve Smith, Greg Olson. You look at Justin Herbert with Keenan Allen and Austin Eckler and Mike Williams. You look at some of the prolific totals these guys have put up, and most of them are supported by an excellent supporting cast. And
I don't think you would have said that about C.J. Stroud last year.
And again, every once in a while, there's an exception. There's lightning strikes, and C.J. Stroud is kind of the new standard. Just that. To me, that's lightning striking. That's impossible
Griffin,
to count on. Yeah.
You know, it was, I guess, lightning striking, theoretically.
I would say that, yeah.
Mostly scheme.
Yeah.
Sixth-round running back.
Garcon was available for an hour, and then it was Josh Morgan was their number one target. Like, fart noise. But, like, you plug in
Aldrick Robinson and Niles Paul.
Which is not great. You plug in Ben Roethlisberger to a great situation. Russell Wilson, good rookie year, to a great situation with, you know, multiple receivers, great running game and stuff.
I'm just saying, like, I think this situation is comparable to some of them that you're naming.
See, that's where we'll disagree. I think when you're in, you look at the rankings, you're in the upper 20s. In most of those spots, it's not the same.
Who is Russell Wilson throw into? I mean, Corin Robinson and
I'd have to go back and look, but I think
Simeon Rice or something, like
the defensive end.
No, that's Simeon. Who is the guy? Sidney Rice. Thank you, Darius. Remember Sidney Rice?
No,
Sidney
Sweeney. I remember.
I don't know if he was even on that team. He was a Viking first. But my point is, who would know who he was throwing to in 2012? Now he handed the ball off a lot. In fairness, Like, early career Russell Wilson wasn't Russell Wilson either.
No, I mean, you know, had a decent touchdown-to-pick ratio.
And he threw it 19 times a year.
Yeah, Legion of Boom, turning it over every, you know, 7 seconds.
Sidney Rice was on that team, as well as Doug Baldwin, Deion Butler, Jermaine Kearse, and Golden Tate. That was a good receiving core. A
bunch of guys that were drafted in the mid-rounds. I think Baldwin was undrafted, was probably his wide receiver one. Is that better than this? I don't know. 800-636-1067 is the number. So the question is,
do you feel better, worse, or the same about Jaden Daniels now versus draft day?
We're Grant and Danny on the Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Have you ever noticed how many chargers I go through?
Yo, yeah.
How many chargers a year do you go through generally, phone or computer?
I don't go through them. I have them.
I just don't get it. If you lose one, I get that. And that occasionally happens where I'll have to go scoop another one. I'm sitting here, my computer dies while plugged in. And I realize my charger's just not charging my computer. I plug it into another one over here, an outlet, just make sure nothing. I'm like trying to rig it, move it around, see if there's a short. I get this sometimes with my phone where I have to like prop the wire up against a wall with a weird thing, and at just this angle, it'll actually charge it. And so I just took it into the producer room, and at a weird angle, it's now charging.
It's now going.
But I can't touch it. Like, the laptop's gone.
So I had to get a new computer charger in 2023. It finally conked out after probably a dozen years, and it was an emergency for me, and I hated it. Like, there were a couple days I didn't really have it. It was annoying, but I got through it. You go through LA chargers weekly. Every time you go on the road, you have to buy two chargers. Every time you go home, you buy a charger. Like, you have basically increased
a lot.
Apple's net worth by thousands of dollars.
So, and phone chargers I will wear and say that's probably my fault to an extent because I lose them a lot. Totally true.
Mm-hmm.
But computer chargers, not as much. I don't know how. Clearly, it has something to do with me. It's something I'm doing. Most people use their laptop all the time, right?
Yeah.
At work, at
everybody
home,
does. Yeah,
you're
yeah.
taking it in a bag, you're pulling the laptop out, you're setting it up and plugging it in and take, I don't know why, but I go through chargers all the time. And I'm old enough to remember when you could just go to a Best Buy. You say, I got this laptop, this is what I need. And they're like, oh, $43 or whatever. It's like $100 for a charger now.
That's how they get you.
Even, do you know what it costs for a phone, like a good phone charger now? You have any file?
It's like $30 some, right?
Oh, you're cute. You're a cute little boy.
No?
It's like 50-some bucks.
Is that right?
For a, you go and just get a nice wall charger at like Verizon or
something. Well, if they want these like little supercomputers that we hold in our hands to continue to be like fairly affordable, that's how they have to. It's like a printer where it's like, dude, we'll give you the printer for free with your computer. That's really? That's awesome. Point. If you want ink in it, though, oh, buddy.
Talking about Jaden Daniels, draft night to right now, is your level of excitement about him ascending or not? Let's go to Chris in Oxon Hill on G&D. What's up, Chris?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Definitely appreciate y'all taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say, honestly, I feel like I'm still at the same level. I always thought that Jaden was going to do a pretty decent job. I'm hoping that he's going to make sure that we do better than a 4-13 record. But I think, you know, he's going to do well. And I think that as long as we protect him, then we're going to be all right. But, you know, whenever I call, I got to make that wrestling reference. I'm not sure if you all, this shows how old I am, if you all remember back in WCW, Bill Goldberg.
Of course.
Would spear people.
Speared
and
everyone.
I'm hoping that he learns how to slide so he doesn't feel that spear from some of those.
Soon as you get Goldberg, yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple of Goldberg spears of Jaden Daniel videos floating around still from last year. I do think that's going to be his biggest obstacle. There are others, and we can get into those from a football standpoint. But his game is so unique and so advanced, and he's so good that if you can college-proof the offense some and let him run a lot of the LSU stuff, there's really not much of a reason why he can't have some initial success. Different than being a top 5 or 10 quarterback long-term. But he should be able to have success this season if you run an LSU-like offense. The one thing that would hold him back from that is just durability and health, and he just has to avoid the contact. Because we've seen too many guys who thought, well, I did it in college, so what's the difference? Well, here's the difference. Everybody's bigger, everybody's faster, everybody's stronger, and you're going to get annihilated. And if you don't use the sideline as your friend, and if you don't get to the ground, like there is no, you know what, I was watching receivers. And who was really good about this, he said something really smart, was Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Yep.
And Amon-Ra said, basically, like, you don't get extra points. You don't get extra yards for getting hit or trying to fight through a tackle. He's like, I'm always going to try to fight for more. I'm physical. But when I know I'm dead, if there's multiple guys around me and I'm just going to take on contact to do it, he's like, look at Marvin Harrison's film. How many times did that guy just go down and save his body? He's like, that's the best thing I could do for my team. And that is, I think it's really well said. Because you think of Amon-Ra St. Brown as a guy who's one of the most difficult guys to tackle after the catch. And he's going to fight
for
every
inch. Yeah, I mean, he's small, but he's a tenacious bulldog.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Like, he feels like he's always lowering his shoulder.
He's a cage fighter. You know, fang mouth guard like Pierre Garçon. But he's also smart. And he's like, when I'm dead in the water, it's almost like giving up when there's enough cops surrounding you, you know? If there's enough guys there to tackle me, I'm just going to sit down.
Yep.
And they can't hit me anymore. And I think that's the way Jaden Daniels probably has to think about his body.
Like, it's a good comp. That's a good way to think about it. I mean, Sam Howell, over the course of last year, got a lot better at this. I mean, remember, week one, he probably should have had to come out of the game. Remember that the crunching sandwich concussive looking hit that he took on the sideline against Arizona, and because there was a delay that wasn't about him, he was able to go in the blue tent and come out, or he didn't go in the tent. The whole thing was weird, but that kind of totally unnecessary, this play is dead, please just throw it away and avoid this catastrophic moment, that he started to get better at that. I mean, that said, it was sort of like, okay, this guy is stouter and maybe more designed to take some of these hits. Daniels isn't, man. I mean, remember, this whole, like, what is he going to weigh in at the combine? That's like when he's at his absolute heaviest. He's not going to play that heavy. Like, some of these hits that he took are so alarming and so scary, and he made it through at LSU. But, dude, I mean, again, we have seen this before.
Yeah.
A lot of us are still traumatized, dude.
I feel like the part that doesn't get talked about with his size or weight or whatever is the in-the-pocket stuff. When you say we all saw this before, you're talking about three sticks.
Yeah.
And it's out of the pocket, running around, taking shots.
But even in the pocket, it's those fold-ups.
But what I'm saying is, with Jaden Daniels' size, his weight, the lack of meat on his bones, it's when you get tackled and landed on, which the league's trying to get rid of, to their credit. I mean, you see some of the grossest, most infuriating, nothing burger personal foul calls that you'll ever see in today's NFL. Because they don't want quarterbacks to get tackled with full force and weight. Because they don't want guys breaking collarbones, which was a pretty prevalent quarterback injury for a couple seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, that is the fear. It's the same one I have with Bryce Young every time he gets tackled. When you're that small, I think Kyler Murray, for whatever reason, I don't have that same fear watching him. Maybe he's a little thicker, honestly.
He is, yeah, he's stout.
But even though Daniels is like 6'3 and change, when you're that skinny, and I always say it like you're a side sleeper, like you get tackled and you're kind of wrapping the ball into your body and you're going down on your shoulder, and there's a big 300-pound defensive tackle. Some big John Allen, Johnny Newton type guy is just landing, tackling you with all his weight, and now your shoulders are being pushed toward each other. That's the hit with Jaden Daniels that I'm petrified about. And I don't even know how you avoid that. But to me, that's where the weight thing comes in, mm-hmm. more than the hit in the open field. Because at least those, most of the time, you can kind of dictate the position you're in. Not all the time. That's part of it, too. There's definitely concerns there because of his willingness to take shots.
Yeah.
But I think that's coachable, fixable, slide, sideline, whatever. You can never avoid the, I'm being tackled and someone's landing on me, other than just being big enough to take on the wear and tear. That's
yeah,
the only
those
thing
are
you
inevitable.
Can really do.
Yeah, I mean, there's a one of his highlights, one of his best plays. I think it's against Alabama. He scrambles out of sure-fire tackle for a loss, makes seven different guys miss, and is 40 yards down the field. And you're like, oh, my God, that was so electric. The end of the play, two different people catch him and throw him down in this, like, I don't know if you've ever seen this episode of Friends. At the end of Friends, they prank Rachel, Ross and his son Ben, by throwing a mannequin down the stairs that bends and contorts in all sorts of ways, wearing the same clothes as Ross was wearing, to prank her. It looks like that when he's going down. Like, it looks like a scarecrow falling down or like some crash test dummy sliding down. I mean, it was so gruesome. And he hops right back up because he's 22 and in the best shape ever, and he's more flexible than everyone else, and it all looks fine. Eventually, man, those hits, it's all it takes is that one where you go down that awkwardly on a great play. What about the bad play? What about the, you know, in the pocket, et cetera? That's what's got me up at night about him.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. You mentioned Friends. Friends a Pantheon show for you?
It is, yeah.
I didn't know you were Friends, Mark.
Oh, yeah. Dude, watch parties was a thing when I was a collegian. That was Thursday night, man, before DVR, before people could.
But did you do that because the crowd and the girls liked it and you just kind of were hanging out and it was fun camaraderie? Or were you actually just like, no one's around, you're like, oh, let's see what Friends is.
Oh, all in on Friends. Part of it, when TV mattered, like the network television was so influential, like the Seinfeld into Friends bit to kind of get it started. 10.
I don't think I had a show like that on network TV. And maybe it's just because I'm younger.
I think it's age-wise, yeah.
And it was over. There were shows that I liked that you sleep on, like The OC, which was geared toward teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was like the first round of, it was like post 90210 back in the day. I don't want to even say it was that, but maybe my generation's version of that, pre The Hills or any mm-hmm. of these other things. But it was just like, you can imagine yourself being a rich kid in California. Every party you go to, it's just nothing but gorgeous people or whatever. I remember watching that in college a little bit, but I don't think we ever had a network TV show that like everyone gathered around.
And, oh, dude. Because again,
it's Thursday night. You coming over for Friends? Like, we didn't have that.
Yeah, because it was can't miss. There was no, you weren't going to be able to see it any other time. Like, you had to sit there and watch
it. What was your parents' show like that at night when you were a kid?
Back in the day, they did a couple.
One stands out for me that my mom had to watch every week.
So my dad and I watched Seinfeld together. But before then, they loved both Cosby Show and Cheers.
And those were sitcoms at night?
Mm-hmm.
The one I remember, my mom loved the show ER. Remember ER?
Of course.
That was just like a wheelhouse show.
Early George Clooney right there.
Yeah, she was a big fan. Grant and Danny with you, taking you up to 6:15 and the pregame ahead of Nats baseball next. Some big-time NFL storylines today as teams all over the country reported for camp and some massive names are holding out. We'll get to the bottom of all the news next right here on The Fan. You want to hear something that'll make you mad, Danny?
Yeah.
Doing a fantasy football draft today.
Right now?
So it's a dynasty league. They were like, why don't you do it after the preseason? It's an online draft. Everyone's on the clock for like several hours at a time. It takes like a week, basically, which that'll also make you mad probably.
Yeah,
but
the worst.
Current draft, it's a dynasty league, and I just took my first commander that I'll have on my team. You don't know who I took.
First commander, Jaden Daniels.
Ben Sinnott.
Oh, okay.
I had a chance at Daniels. I had the number two pick, and it's a keeper league, again, deep, deep keeper, so the new picks are basically draft picks. We draft three college players a piece anyway each year, so it's just guys that, like, for whatever reason, didn't get drafted in a 36-pick
right.
college draft. So Jaden Daniels was available. It was like him or Malik Nabers, a couple other guys. So I had, I think, the third pick after those two went. And I was debating between Keon Coleman of the Buffalo Bills and Ladd McConkey of the LA Chargers. That was kind of my addition in my dynasty league. Who would you have gone with?
Probably, it depends on what you need. I mean, that's always so hard. I'm terrible at dynasty leagues because I can't think.
Well, they're both receivers. I mean, yeah. So the need's the same, essentially. Yeah.
So I suppose I would have gone, so Daniels was an option?
So yeah, Daniels or those two receivers.
I think I'd probably go Coleman. One.
I did two, and I'm kind of regretting it already. I think I should have gone McConkey.
I don't hate it either way.
My thought on that, I was in on Ladd the whole time, thought that would be my guy, and then I changed to Coleman at the end. And my thinking is the Bills just are going to throw it more, and Jim Harbaugh can't wait to run it 40 times a game.
Yeah, McConkey will block a lot.
But, I mean, Herbert, he needs a guy.
Yeah.
PPR league, maybe that becomes McConkey. All right, let's spin you around the NFL. It is time to get to the bottom of some of the big stories today. From the National Football League, with camps taking place all over the country. Why don't we begin with Trent Williams? 49ers coach Kyle Shanahan saying Williams did not report to training camp. Like Brandon Ayuk, he will not be practicing. Ayuk's at least there, and he's holding in. Trent Williams, it seems like, is going to be holding out. Shanahan says he did not seem worried about Williams' absence. He told reporters discussions between the player and the team have been going on for a while. Nobody's been talking about this one.
I feel like that came out of nowhere, right?
All eyes were on Ayuk. But if you look at the tackle market, it's exploded. Williams is the best tackle in football by most accounts. He's just got, I think, $21 million this year coming his way and no guaranteed money beyond that. So when you get to the point where you're out of guaranteed money, most guys don't want to keep playing without getting something given to them. John Allen's in this boat and could be doing the same thing. Yeah. He's being a good soldier.
Yeah, Trent Williams turned 36 this week, July 19th. This is his birthday, and has not shown any signs of slowing down. So this was kind of unfathomable a couple years ago. Remember when he was, you know, there was upset about medical situation here. Then there's also some contract stuff kind of boiled into it. The whole thing was a mess. And you're going, yeah, well, you know, how long is he going to be good for? Plenty, I guess. Like, he's been excellent since he got to San Francisco.
Dateline New Orleans, Saints wide receiver Chris Olave has been activated from the non-football injury list. He's had a shoulder injury he's been working back from. Who am I? Let's do a quick game. I want you guys to guess who I am.
Let me see. You're everybody?
I'm Danny, sleeping on how good Chris Olave is.
I'm sure.
Chris Olave is that dude.
I'm so sure.
He is so good. Now, when Washington drafted Jahan Dotson, they chose not to draft Chris Olave and traded back.
Yeah.
And then Chris Olave went to the Saints.
Well, they have two of their starters, guys like Jahan Dotson and Sam Howell, as a result of that Chris Olave deal. I'm told they don't.
And B-Rob's the other one, I think.
Was B-Rob in that deal, too?
I just remember everyone over-tweeting about, like, y'all telling me Olave's better? I got B-Rob and Jahan and Sam or whatever. Anyway, 72 catches for 1,000 yards as a rookie, 87 for 1,100 last year. And he missed a game. He's so good. Just watching him, too. And it's not even like they've been a good offense or Derek Carr's played that well. He's only 24. Chris Olave is going to be special for a long time.
Yeah, he's got everything. Like, he's one of those dudes that looks like he's not moving that fast, but he is. Nobody catches him. He's got that, like, smoothness that I love on a wide receiver.
How do you feel about the Browns? Here's your note on Cleveland going around the NFL on Grant and Danny. They placed right tackle Jack Conklin with a knee problem on the active PUP list. I ask about them because Mike Vrabel, I just found out the other day, is like heavily involved with Cleveland in helping Kevin Stefanski. I don't know what his role is. I think he's called like an advisor, but he's having him watch tape and even run some meetings maybe in season, it sounds like. So he's coming on to help out that coaching staff. The Browns are basically good quarterback play away from being a really, really legitimate contender. Where are you at on Cleveland this year?
I have such a hard time with them because, as you said, on like last year they won 11 games, I think, with like basically the Jets or worse quarterback situation. The guy off the couch who was bad in every previous stop, including probably not playing well on his own couch, Joe Flacco, led them to a bunch of W's. They are complete and really well built everywhere except quarterback. If they get decent quarterback play from Deshaun Watson, they are no pushovers.
To Baltimore we go, home of Adley Rutschman, where Lamar Jackson returned to practice this afternoon. Jackson was sent home from the practice facility earlier this week because of an illness. We've talked about this on the show already. That guy is always sick. He has a terrible immune system, but he's a really, really good quarterback. So he's back at practice. Nothing to fear. Are you with me that the Ravens will take a step back this year? Brutal schedule. They lost a lot on the coaching staff and defensively.
I'm not. I'm still bullish on them. I don't think you could be correct in the sense that maybe they don't win 13 or 14 games, but I think they'll be atop of that division once again. I think it's the best division in football, but I still think the Ravens are a tough out for everybody.
We talked about this earlier today, but I will reiterate for those of you just jumping in the car, leaving the office here as we go around the NFL. Again, with San Francisco in the headlines, Brandon Ayuk is not practicing at the start of training camp. He is going to be holding in, so he will be at every practice, but he will not participate. Kyle Shanahan saying today that he told the staff that he's got a sore neck and back, so that's why he can't practice. Shanahan also acknowledged, we kind of know what's going on, but he said
neck and my back,
he's
little Ezel.
A little bit of neck and a little bit of a back. The new ownership group is making the players at training camp feel a lot better with the digs. Wait till you hear where the Commanders are staying for camp. We're G&D. You want to hear something that'll make you mad, Danny?
Yeah.
Doing a fantasy football draft today.
Right now?
So it's a dynasty league. They were like, why don't you do it after the preseason? It's an online draft. Everyone's on the clock for like several hours at a time. It takes like a week, basically, which that'll also make you mad probably.
Yeah,
but
the worst.
Current draft, it's a dynasty league, and I just took my first commander that I'll have on my team. You don't know who I took.
First commander, Jaden Daniels.
Ben Sinnott.
Oh, okay.
I had a chance at Daniels. I had the number two pick, and it's a keeper league again. Deep, deep keeper, so the new picks are basically draft picks. We draft three college players a piece anyway each year, so it's just guys that, like, for whatever reason, didn't get drafted in a 36-pick college draft. So Jaden Daniels was available. It was like him or Malik Nabers, a couple other guys. So I had, I think, the third pick after those two went, and I was debating between Keon Coleman of the Buffalo Bills and Ladd McConkey of the L.A. Chargers. That was kind of my addition in my dynasty league. Who would you have gone with?
Probably, it depends on what you need. I mean, that's always so hard. I'm terrible at dynasty leagues because I can't think.
Well, they're both receivers. I mean, so the need's the same, essentially. Yeah.
So I suppose I would have gone, so Daniels was an option?
So yeah, Daniels or those two receivers.
I think I'd probably go Coleman, one.
I did too, and I'm kind of regretting it already. I think I should have gone McConkey.
I don't hate it either way.
My thought on that, I was in on Ladd the whole time, thought that would be my guy, and then I changed to Coleman at the end. And my thinking is the Bills just are going to throw it more, and Jim Harbaugh can't wait to run it 40 times a game.
Yeah, McConkey will block a lot.
But, I mean, Herbert, he needs a guy.
Yeah.
PPR league, maybe that becomes McConkey. All right, let's spin you around the NFL. It is time to get to the bottom of some of the big stories today from the National Football League with camps taking place all over the country. Why don't we begin with Trent Williams, 49ers coach Kyle Shanahan saying Williams did not report to training camp. Like Brandon Ayuk, he will not be practicing. Ayuk's at least there and he's holding in. Trent Williams, it seems like, is going to be holding out. Shanahan says he did not seem worried about Williams' absence. He told reporters discussions between the player and the team have been going on for a while. Nobody's been talking about this one.
I feel like that came out of nowhere, right?
All eyes were on Ayuk. But if you look at the tackle market, it's exploded. Williams is the best tackle in football by most accounts. He's just got, I think, $21 million this year coming his way and no guaranteed money beyond that. So when you get to the point where you're out of guaranteed money, most guys don't want to keep playing without getting something given to them. John Allen's in this boat and could be doing the same thing. he's being a good soldier.
Yeah, Trent Williams turned 36 this week, July 19th. This is his birthday, and has not shown any signs of slowing down. So this was kind of unfathomable a couple years ago. Remember when he was, you know, there was upset about medical situation here. Then there's also some contract stuff kind of boiled into it. The whole thing was a mess. And you're going, yeah, well, you know, how long is he going to be good for? Plenty, I guess. Like, he's been excellent since he's gotten to San Francisco.
Dateline New Orleans, Saints wide receiver Chris Olave has been activated from the non-football injury list. He's had a shoulder injury he's been working back from. Who am I? Let's do a quick game. I want you guys to guess who I am.
Let me see. You're everybody?
I'm Danny, sleeping on how good Chris Olave is.
I'm sure.
Chris Olave is that dude.
I'm so sure.
He is so good. Now, when Washington drafted Jahan Dotson, they chose not to draft Chris Olave, traded back, and then Chris Olave went to the Saints.
Well, they have two of their starters, guys like Jahan Dotson and Sam Howell, as a result of that Chris Olave deal. I'm told they don't.
And B-Rob's the other one, I think.
Was B-Rob in that deal, too?
I just remember everyone over-tweeting about, like, y'all telling me Olave's better? I got B-Rob and Jahan and Sam, or whatever. Anyway, 72 catches for 1,000 yards as a rookie, 87 for 1,100 last year. And he missed a game. He's so good. Just watching him, too. And it's not even like they've been a good offense or Derek Carr's played that well. He's only 24. Chris Olave is going to be special for a long time.
Yeah, he's got everything. Like, he's one of those dudes that looks like he's not moving that fast, but he is. Nobody catches him. He's got that, like, smoothness that I love on a wide receiver.
How do you feel about the Browns? Here's your note on Cleveland, going around the NFL on Grant and Danny. They placed right tackle Jack Conklin with a knee problem on the active PUP list. I ask about them because Mike Vrabel, I just found out the other day, is like heavily involved with Cleveland in helping Kevin Stefanski. I don't know what his role is. I think he's called like an advisor, but he's having him watch tape and even run some meetings maybe in season, it sounds like. So he's coming on to help out that coaching staff. The Browns are basically good quarterback play away from being a really, really legitimate contender. Where are you at on Cleveland this year?
I have such a hard time with them because, as you said, on like last year they won 11 games, I think, with like basically the Jets or worse quarterback situation. The guy off the couch who was bad in every previous stop, including probably not playing well on his own couch, Joe Flacco, led them to a bunch of W's. They are complete and really well built everywhere except quarterback. If they get decent quarterback play from Deshaun Watson, They are no pushovers.
To Baltimore we go. Home of Adley Rutschman, where Lamar Jackson returned to practice this afternoon. Jackson was sent home from the practice facility earlier this week because of an illness. We've talked about this on the show already. That guy is always sick. He has a terrible immune system, but he's a really, really good quarterback. So he's back at practice. Nothing to fear. Are you with me that the Ravens will take a step back this year? Brutal schedule. They lost a lot on the coaching staff and defensively.
I'm not. I'm still bullish on them. I don't think you could be correct in the sense that maybe they don't win 13 or 14 games, but I think they'll be atop of that division once again. I think it's the best division in football, but I still think the Ravens are a tough out for everybody.
We talked about this earlier today, but I will reiterate for those of you just jumping in the car, leaving the office here as we go around the NFL. Again, with San Francisco in the headlines, Brandon Ayuk is not practicing at the start of training camp. He is going to be holding in, so he will be at every practice, but he will not participate. Kyle Shanahan saying today that he told the staff that he's got a sore neck and back, so that's why he can't practice. Shanahan also acknowledged, we kind of know what's going on, but he said he's...
My neck and my back, little Ezel.
A little bit of neck and a little bit of a back. The new ownership group is making the players at training camp feel a lot better with the digs. Wait till you hear where the Commanders are staying for camp. We're G&D.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.